It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, the right advice at the right time, and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins are in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben. Good morning, How are you?
We're doing well. What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, let's continue to talk about last week was Thanksgiving, and Christmas is right here around the corner. Let's continue to talk about year-end planning, conversations with your family concerning your checklist, your business checklist, your estate planning checklist, your life insurance. The list is kind of endless, and these things do need to be looked at. And so let's kind of go through some of the things that Wes and I would recommend that every person and every family take stock of, take a few minutes to just review, and make sure that these things are in order.
Okay. Last week we talked a little bit about the will and got into a little bit on trusts. And so where do we start today?
Well, Ben, in light of yesterday, Monday, after Thanksgiving holiday, I really do have to just emphasize once again, because we spent more or less the morning yesterday on a file where a lady just did not quite get around to making her will. Mm. And the consequences of that file are just so dire, so tragic, so unfortunate. Of course, obviously, I cannot go into detail here on the program. We always have to protect client confidences, as I know our listeners know. But trust me when I say what a shame it is that this elderly lady did not make a will.
Right.
And friends state that they encouraged her and she said that she was going to do it. Her stockbroker tells us that she told him many times that she was going to get around to doing a will, that she just had to think about it one more day. And of course, it then didn't happen. And Ben, sometimes what I tell clients, and I know that Wes does the same, you know, there is really no perfection, Ben, in estate planning. Just like there's no perfection in a lot of what we do in life. I mean, yes, it's pretty straightforward when you have, you know, a spouse and two children or three children. But even then, who is going to be the trustee? Who is going to be the guardian if the mother and the father are both not living? And there's probably not that, quote, perfect choice. You know, a grandparent, a brother, a sister. You know,
right.
There's not a perfect choice. But what we end up emphasizing to our clients is let's get something accomplished. Let's get something on paper. Let's get the best plan put forward and documented and signed and sealed that we can, knowing full well that at any point we can come back into the office and change it and modify it or make an amendment to it. Let's don't keep putting off making the initial document, even though we know that it might not be exactly as we want it to be. This particular woman, for instance, she did have some family, and she did discuss how she wanted things to be divided amongst the very small family that she had. And it would have been so much better in her for the facts to be that there be something in writing distributing these assets amongst her family than now what is going to happen with her having no will whatsoever.
And the way you brought that up is just crucial, because just getting a basic will down that names an executor, at least you're in that arena now. You're not in that never land.
Exactly.
of dying intestate.
Correct. Correct.
Ben, you know, over the years we've dealt with many, many cases where folks just didn't get a will, and you know, that's upon their death. We're dealing with the administration of the estate, therefore the assets pass through intestacy. But, you know, the worst cases are these cases where, you know, we meet with the client and the client just cannot make up their mind as it relates to whatever particular issue it is in their will, and they fail to finish through and complete that document to follow through, and they pass away. And that's, you know, one of these situations that Cecil was talking about. I have a little familiarity with that file, and, you know, the travesty in that file is the majority of the estate through intestacy is going to pass, again, without using any names, to someone who probably is approaching special needs, or at least has some significant dependencies. And that's a big problem in that file, because there may be some intent to take care of this person, but not to leave the entire estate to someone who's not able to take care of themselves.
Also yesterday, Ben, I was looking at an account designation, an account opening, if you will, document with Andrew Foster. And on this document, it is not clear on its face that the account is a joint account. There are, in fact, two persons listed.
Right.
There are two people that sign the bottom of the form. But up at the top of the form where it says depositor, for whatever reason, the bank only elected to include one of the two people. And so there is a question now whether or not that account really is joint with this surviving person who signed the opening of the account, or whether or not the account goes into the estate of the one person that's designated as depositor up at the top of the form. We are seeing on a daily basis, quite frankly, more than one time a day, these account statements, be they with the bank, an insurance company, an annuity, an IRA designation, a POD, payable on death, time on death, and we cannot emphasize enough that one take the time to review all of these various documents and make sure that they match and conform to your intent. This is just critically important, because now, Ben, more than ever, we are seeing assets passing according to these documents, these payable on death, time on death, beneficiary designation. We are seeing assets pass in this manner more frequently, many times, than we are just through the terms of the last
right.
will and testament. And so,
and as you have said many times, this is much more expensive to come behind and try to fix something than it is to take care of it in the first place.
Right.
Much more expensive. It's absolutely a litigation case, and it does not necessarily always have a favorable result. They are difficult to facts all have to be looked at. But if an account is joint with right of survivorship with one child versus all three children, that is very, very difficult to undo. And if that account has, you know, $200,000 in it, and that's the only asset really in the estate other than the home place, this is a problem. And why did that one child get put on the account? And then it got haphazardly designated as joint with right of survivorship or payable on death. The reason for that, Ben, is because the elder person thought that it was best to add their one child to the account, because
right.
that way they could pay their bills. They would be on their account. And, of course, they do not have to be on the account to have access to pay the bills, because they can do that through a power of attorney. So we encourage everyone to look at their will. We encourage folks to review their account statements, their bank accounts, their annuities, their IRAs, their beneficiaries on their life insurance. This is definitely a year-end planning that everyone should do.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. If you'd like to call us, you can reach us right now at 800-818-2255 to ask your question, or you can call these local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
Back with more of Let's Talk Legal in just a moment. And welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. You could reach them at 726-9050 and 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. You can call us right now, too, and ask your question. And we were talking about wills before the break, and that's part of the conversation, hopefully, maybe you had with your family, or you can still have it coming up in this rest of this holiday season, right?
Right, Ben. You know, last week we talked a little bit more about having these conversations about where your documents are and account statements, life insurance policies, those type things, making sure that, you know, we have our financial house and estate planning house in order. Today we're talking a little bit more about, you know, in the event you haven't gotten those documents put in place, to be sure you do it. Cecil did mention a file that he's been working on recently where there was just a failure to follow through and get the will done. And we talked about the consequences of that. You know, another file I dealt with years ago, a couple years ago, comes to mind where I met with a gentleman, actually at his house. It was reported to me that he wasn't well enough to come see me. So I went and met with him, and he reported to me that he had three children and that he wanted to leave basically his entire estate to his one son. But wanted to leave a little something to the other two. But he could not decide what those percentages were going to be to the other two, the son and daughter. I think it was, he was either going to leave them 5% each or 10% each or a pretty small amount. And he just couldn't get settled on it. And of course, I encouraged him, you know, to really get this done soon. He appeared to be doing pretty well, but he had some breathing problems. But again, didn't really seem as though he was going to leave this earth. So right. He does not, make his final decisions at that point in time. And then we left it that he would call me within a couple of days or I would follow up with him. And then we would go ahead and get the documents done. Well, he passes away 3 or 4 days later. And, you know, my initial knee jerk reaction to that is, well, it's not the end of the world because his estate is going to pass through intestacy. So it's going to go a third to his kids anyway. So that's close to what he wanted. At least, you know, it's a relatively fair distribution. Well, come to find out that this one son that he wanted to leave everything to was not really his biological son.
Oh,
and
oh no.
He raised him from birth, but never adopted him and was not the natural father, or could have been the natural father, but it wasn't yet, you know, that wasn't determined and it wasn't indicated on the birth certificate either. So that failure to just make that decision about whether 5% or 10% to these other kids just ended up totally turning his estate plan on his head. You know, failing to plan is planning to fail, right? You ever heard that?
Yes. Yes. And it also indicated that he did not confide in you with that information to begin with.
Right. Well, that's true, and we lawyers are very aware of the fact that we many times do not know, even though the client is sitting right there in front of us, and we have had several conferences with them, we do not know the whole story.
That's right.
The kind of the Paul Harvey. What was his famous expression, Ben?
The rest of the story.
The rest of the story.
Right.
Okay. And of course, Wes's example is exactly like the one that I dealt with yesterday morning, in that lady as well was debating about her percentages, and of course, you know, better we can always change a percentage. Okay, let's get something in writing, something signed, something sealed for the moment. Now, Ben, we'll work on through this again probably on into next week because we continue to talk about, right now today at least, our personal affairs. And this is so very important. One of the questions, of course, we get is where to keep your personal estate planning documents. And the originals absolutely do need to be safeguarded. We attempt to keep the originals of our clients' documents in a very fine vault system and organized system at our office. Those documents are available at any moment to any of the clients, but they are safeguarded and they're kept from, you know, either mysteriously missing, having a marking on them, a page
right.
taken out and not put back, you know, a copy made and the original now not to be located. I mean, you can only imagine all the permutations of facts that Wes and I have heard concerning the location of the original documents. So my first choice is to say that let your lawyer keep them if they will take responsibility for that, which most good law firms will. Secondly, if you absolutely insist upon keeping your originals, then keep them. Know that they are your originals. Know that they are critically important. They cannot be marked on. They cannot be destroyed in any way. They cannot be pages missing, anything of that nature. And they need to be kept in a very secure environment. As we get older and older and older, we take them out, we look at them, we take a page out, we mark on them, we see all these things. Or as we are deathly, or as we are, quote, dying, maybe a child or an heir mysteriously, you know, finds these originals and doesn't like what they happen to say. And now they're nowhere to be found. So all of these things are important. Probably the best place to put your documents is at your lawyer's office. You can also keep them in safekeeping with the clerk of court. They are not filed. They are not on public record.
Right.
This is just simply a safekeeping
method.
It's a method. Service. Right.
Service. Mm-hmm. I was looking for the word service. It's a service that our local clerk's offices will provide to maintain the integrity of your original. And why do they do that? Why in the world would the clerk's offices, Pamlico, Craven, Carteret, Onslow, New Hanover, have a service to maintain your original for the reasons that we just mentioned? Because they, as the clerk, understand the importance of the original and all of the many things that can happen to an original document in terms of pages missing, markings, obliteration, mysteriously missing, disappearing, all of those things. So it needs to be kept in a very special place.
And we'll have more to come in just a moment here on Coastal Daybreak and Let's Talk Legal with Har Valley Collins Attorneys at Law. You can call in at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674 and ask your questions about your legal life. More to come in a moment. And welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. We're talking about the importance of having a will and getting that done, at least getting the basics done. And I know that Cecil and Wes, when you guys are dealing with so many of these things after the fact, it is an arduous task to go back and try to make these things right.
It is. And, you know, Ben, what it sounds like as you stand back and listen to it, it sounds like a marketing ploy from two attorneys saying, go spend some money with us and do your will. That is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the effects of not having the will, whether you have us do it or someone else do it. Please get that in place
right.
So that your wishes can be followed through with, so that what you want to happen to your assets that you have worked so hard to accumulate, in fact, does happen. And so we don't have some crazy unintended consequence that maybe is a windfall to someone and leave someone out that you love, you know, very dearly. You know, back to that case I was talking about earlier where the individual made the determination that he wanted basically everything to go to his son, and we find out later his son was not really his son. And then everything passed to his natural children, who were the two other children who he basically didn't want to leave much of anything to. you know, those two other children under that scenario could have taken care of that by, you know, spreading it around a little bit upon receiving their inheritance. But they took a quite opposite approach by, you know, hiring an attorney and saying that this one child is getting nothing. And that's what he ended up getting, nothing. So,
and even if they did have that generous heart, they still would come under other concerns about gifting and et cetera and tax consequences at that point. And so there's so many different ramifications if you don't take care of that.
Yeah, that is correct. And, you know, this kind of spins off into something a little different. Sometimes we hear clients say that, well, I'm going to leave everything to this one child, and this one child's going to take care of everything as it relates to everybody else. You know, that's a real no-no as well, because we don't know what twists and turns that one child's life is going to have. Is that one child going to be subject to a divorce? Or is there going to be, you know, are they going to get in a car accident they caused and get sued? Or, you know, are they really going to follow through? So, you know, having that part of the plan put in place is important too. That's a little bit off topic, but again, that's something we do hear.
Right. Well, and so Ben, you know, as we move toward the end of the year, all of us should pull out these documents, check through them, see that the that they generally conform to our wishes. Now, one thing you don't have to worry about, all you wonderful listeners out there, is when your daughter's name changes. Okay, I get calls on that all the time. You know, if your daughter's been through a divorce, and she now is back to Jones versus having been a Smith, this is not a problem. We all know who your daughter is, Mary Sue, relative to you as the mother and father. So as names change, that is not necessarily a reason to have to redo a document. But when you look in your document, make sure that there are alternates. You need at least one alternate, and we prefer that there be two alternates. Most folks are going to name each other in a married situation and then a child, but back that one child up with yet another alternate if you can. And then
and make sure that you don't have an ex named as an executor.
Correct.
Right.
And then, of course, next, then take account of inventory of your accounts, your bank accounts, your stocks, your bonds, your annuities, your IRAs, your life insurances, and please make sure that they are in conformity with your testamentary intent. That's a good
thing.
And
finally, let your loved ones know where these documents are.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
All
so
right.
Now,
again,
next week, we'll move
out
to the business side. We'll talk about what we need to do with our businesses, our corporations, our LLCs. We'll talk about that. And today we spent most of our time kind of talking about some of the personal things that we might do between now and the end of the year.
If you want to find out more about what is the right advice at the right time for you, call on Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law, at 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. You can reach them at 252-726-9050. That's 726-9050 for Harvell and Collins at harvellandcollins.com.